This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Mary Givens, Deputy Director, Office of Information Services at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I got systems and services confused there. So you work in chief of the Office of Information Services, is that right?
Correct.
Great. And the reason we brought Mary in is to find about some of the innovations that NRC is using up there. There's a conference coming up next month. I think many of my listeners can benefit from the innovations that NRC has implemented, especially engaging citizens, open government. I mean, they're having a whole conference. They're bringing people from all over the world to talk about what they do. They are literally opening up their doors so maybe we can waltz around in there. And I mean, if President Obama wants agencies to be open and engage citizens, I think this might be a pretty good model for them to look at, huh? Mary, tell us about your background and how you wound up at NRC, please.
All right. So I've actually been in the government for over 30 years. I started right out of high school as a clerk typist, and I've worked in three different agencies. I've been in management leadership type roles for over 25 years. I've been at the NRC for the last 17 years. I've worked in two other agencies, and I've earned my degrees along the way. I have a bachelor's degree. I also have a certification for a public accountant and also my MBA. And most recently, the past 6 months, I've been leading, along with another executive, the agency's information technology and information management operations. It's about 200 staff that work for us and over 400 contractors. It's a great job.
Wow, you did it the hard way, huh? You had to fight your way up.
Yep.
Wow, right out of high school. That's a good sign. I think there's a lot of listeners who can resonate with that. I worked full-time when I was in college, too. It's always a challenge. The NRC has an event coming up next month. I guess it's colloquially known as the RIC, which is the 25 Years for Regulatory Information Conference from the NRC. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Okay. Well, we are very proud and very excited. It is a big celebration, you know, being the 25 years. We're seeing constant growth in this. It's in popularity with this conference. Over the last 6 years, we've actually grown 30%.
Let's stop. No conference has grown in the last 5 years.
No, we really have.
Everything's pulling back and pulling. This has grown.
Yeah. I think we do, I think at the agency, a really good job of engaging the public. The feedback that we get from this particular conference is the content that our stakeholders, our interested parties get out of it. It is a forum where we bring in interested parties, the public, the government, international, all together, and we share information and ideas and talk about some of the regulatory challenges and issues and so forth. Last year was pretty popular, too, because of the Fukushima event. There are plenary sessions where the commissioners have a plenary session, and then we have 36 technical sessions. And what's really neat is that our panels are diverse. They're made up of both NRC employees, but as well as international and stakeholders. So we have a good, healthy balance of discussion there.
And if you're listening and want to get more information, you can go to nrc.gov. And you can click on the information. It's a real nice website, by the way. It's got a picture of their control center, and it's got people and humans, and you can click on things. Students can go there and get information. It's a very interactive type site. So middle of March is going to take place, March 13th, 14th, 15th. Those are the dates?
The 12th and 13th, I believe.
12th and 13th. Middle of March, and right here in Rockville.
Yep.
Metro accessible?
Yes, right across the street.
So people are coming from all over the world and all over town to come to this event.
Two and a half days. It's actually over 30 countries were represented last year.
So the NRC started around 1975, and the RIC started 25 years ago. So that makes it around 1980-something, 87, 88?
I think it was in 1989 that it started. Yeah, close to 89.
and a big spur after, you know, the news from Japan, huh?
Right, right. So we started actually way back 25 years ago. It was just a few hundred people, and now we're over 3,000. Last year, there were over 3,000 attendees. We're expecting even more this year. And yes, last year, I think a little bit more because of the Japan and the Fukushima, and we integrated those topics and some of the things that we're doing into those technical sessions. But we're definitely seeing growth, and it's definitely value add to the public.
The reason I wanted to have you in here, because many of my listeners are federal IT professionals, and they go to work in the morning and beat their head against the wall and then go home at 5 o'clock. And they're trying to seek out ways of ways to open their data up to the public, of maybe engaging with citizens. And I thought you'd be a good case study to say, no, they've done it. They're local. They're in a very difficult field where they have to be careful about information they release. Right. But they've released a lot of information and engaged the public. So I think a lot of my listeners can learn a lesson from this. At this conference, by the way, it's not going to be, you know, PhDs in physics talking about nuclear waste. It's going to be crisis communications, going to be the panels on knowledge management. All of my listeners do knowledge management. This would be a good way to learn about knowledge management. And you can learn about, document access management. I think you have something called agency document access management, ADAMS or something. Is that right?
Correct.
And so there are plenary sessions, but there's sessions just for normal folks like me who want to go up there and say, well, my agency's got a lot of documents. We want to release them to the public. We were kind of scared. We want to see, how did NRC do it? And if NRC did successfully, maybe we can model ourselves after that.
Yeah, and I do think we are a leader in that. Again, we've invested a lot of time into our webpage. And part of our webpage, this is where this ADAMS, which is a repository of all the documents, there's almost a million documents that sit on that. We continually improve the searches on that. We now have even a unified search. But we're trying to make the search as easy as we can to the public. And at this conference, we're having a special workshop this year where we're showing folks how to go ahead and search the web. And of course, we have some more sophisticated advanced searches for those that are interested as well.
So what's interesting is that I think there are organizations out there that try to prevent people from learning about them. And what you're doing is you're having a conference, you're having a workshop on here. Here's how you can get more information from us.
But we invest a lot of time in making sure that our information is secure and coding it properly so we only get the right information out, the information that's not classified or sensitive to the public. But we do get, we try to be as transparent as possible and get as much as we can out there. We try to educate the public as much as we can.
When I first started doing research on this, I keep on calling it an agency, but it's a commission. So how does a commission differ from an agency, just from my perspective?
Okay, well, first of all, we're an independent agency. We've been independent since 1974 under the Reorganization Act. We are run by a commission. So we have four commissioners and one chairman. They're all appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. They serve 5-year staggered terms. And they're basically the policy makers or the final decision makers for the agency. The agency is about 4,000 employees. We're located in Rockville. Our budget is about $1 billion. And what also makes us unique is 90% of our funding is recovered through our fees.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, not many people know that, huh?
Yeah.
I guess it's similar to the FDIC works that way. Is that right?
Correct.
I think they get from the banks and you get them from the organizations.
Yeah. We get them from our licensees, the nuclear power plants and the civilian nuclear material licensees.
And how does the NRC work with international organizations?
A lot. We work very closely with them. Actually, they look at us as a leader in the nuclear field. And we have a whole office devoted to international programs. So we share information through agreements, cooperative agreements and various sources. And they, as I said, they attend this RIC. But we do collaborate quite a bit from them. And they do look at us as leaders, which I think is very important. It says a lot about our agency.
Well, of course, I think I had Darren Ash on the air a year ago. And he talked about being ready for dynamic content. And when Fukushima hit, I mean, everyone went to NRC.gov to see what was going on.
Correct.
Because this happened in Japan, but where do they turn for information? The NRC, isn't that interesting? People in Germany might have gone to NRC for information about the occurrence in Japan.
Yeah, we saw our statistics rise on our blog in particular. Our average blog hits are about 13,000 a month. And that month it went to almost 40,000. And then most recently with the Sandy storm back in October of 2011, we also saw an increase. So it's definitely working.
Now, this could be a journalist working in Chicago wondering, well, what impact did that storm have on nuclear facilities on the East Coast? Where do they turn? NRC.gov for information.
Correct. And what we're seeing is a lot of traffic from our social media sites to our public website and our document, the Adams document repository I talked about.
Adams sounds like John Adams, one of the founding fathers. That's not coincidental, I'll bet. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about a conference coming up in mid-March. It's called the RIC. It's the Regulatory Information Conference. All kinds of information. If you're a PhD in physics, you can go and learn. If you're just a person working for an agency and trying to figure out how to release information, I think there's a lot of topics that would be of value to you. For more information on the conference, nrc.gov. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more with Mary Givens, Deputy Director of the Office of Information Services, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Mary Givens, Deputy Director of the Office of Information Services, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, talking today about the RIC. What the heck's the RIC?
The RIC stands for the Regulatory Information Conference, and it's a very popular forum that we do once a year. It's one of our, we have a number of public meetings, but this is by far the largest, very popular. It's where stakeholders, international groups, industry, and government, also state government, join together and discuss, you know, regulatory type issues, challenges, where we're going.
And was at your website this morning, nrc.gov. You get more information about the conference there. And there's a lot of webinars there. I mean, the commissioners, their meeting looks like it's on a webinar, and some of these presentations are going to be on a webinar as well. So if you're sitting in Kansas, you can still at least participate or learn, huh?
Yep. We've actually come a long way with that. We have the plenary sessions are webcasted and recorded. All our sessions are recorded. Some sessions are webinared. And everything stays archived on our website. And most recently, we've also used quick response codes so people can download links to various information, including the evaluation form. We've had Twitter for the last couple of years, and we're seeing good followers on that. And we're excited this year, we're going to have a mobile application where the attendees can actually download the program, you know, the entire agenda, the bios of the presenters, and the entire presentation and take notes right there.
That's real nice because you can be sitting in the audience and go, John Gilroy, oh, wow, felony convictions, and learn about the speaker.
That's right.
And my wife and I always have this discussion about what is the appropriate device for what application, when to use a notebook, when to use a Nook, when to use an iPad, when to use a smartphone. And I think this it allows for a lot of openness and interaction, I think, with the audience. So it's real good. But all kinds of webinars, I think that's I think the agencies listening can take notes and go, well, they're doing it. They're managing webinar and so how did that all evolve and when did it start? Were you
part of that? Webinars, I think we've had them in existence for the last 3-4 years, and it's not just for this. We have them for a lot of our public meetings and a lot of, you know, as I said, we have 4 regional offices. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier. So we use webinars for that as well. So it's been steadily growing and very popular.
So 4 regional officers in the United States here.
They're in the United States, yes.
And what they do, they're responsible for going out and looking at nuclear facilities or exactly the regional offices.
Yeah, so they're actually on the front lines. They're closer to the inspections. So they are closer to the power reactors. And we actually have inspectors embedded in the nuclear power reactors in the remote locations. But they're basically the oversight, the inspectors of the reactors, where the headquarters is more the policy.
So if you look at the last 10 years, we know that a big spike of interest in the NRC from Fukushima. But this Hurricane Sandy or Storm Sandy, whatever it is, that was an interesting and one of the aspects of the conference is going to be, I think, a session on studying crisis communication, social media, the NRC and Hurricane Sandy. I mean, that's talk about timely and appropriate.
Yeah, correct. The Office of Public Affairs is actually going to have a presentation to show the public the various social media that was available during the hurricane, what kind of information we put out there and how many views and hits we received. So it's very, very interesting, but it does show you or in a crisis mode how social media is very, very valuable. And most of our public, really, they use that as a source to get information. And as I said earlier, that usually leads to our website hits, which continues to grow.
Interesting. And so the handle for the conference is at NRCGov_Rick, R-I-C. Is that right? So you can follow along and see what's going on there.
Correct.
So what do the international folks come to these meetings for? I mean, there must be some programs that are interesting, or are they interested in crisis response, or what are they interested in?
They're interested in lots of things. We have a good regulatory framework. We have good policies in place. You know, some of them are building plants. They're in various stages of it. And so they come to learn from us. They come to see some of the challenges we're having, but more to learn from, you know, some of the things that we're doing so they can take it back and use it in their countries.
My wife is a Sooner. She graduated from OU, and so I'm kind of connected to Oklahoma for some reason. And I was listening yesterday to a senator from Oklahoma, Tom Coburn. And he's Muskogee and kind of interesting character. And he was talking about reducing duplication. He said, you know, one way to save money in the federal government is to reduce duplication. And I was listening to that. Then I did some research on this Adams thing. And that's really what your document repository does, is it says, well, here's a good place to find documents. And we're going to eliminate the duplication just by having them all here. And we're going to show you how to use them. In fact, we're going to give webinars and seminars on how to find these documents. I mean, this is a good case study for other agencies, I would think.
Exactly. Again, we have to balance it with our security. We are continually looking at our content management, you know, system processes. We're in the process of continuing to restructure our data so it is even more easy to retrieve. But what you're talking about is we have a search capability on the Adams that makes it very easy for the user. We use the Google search type capability for the user to go in and obtain whatever information they're looking for. And we're working towards a unified search, so it goes beyond just the libraries and the Adams, but into other searches across the web.
So is that what the PARS is, P-A-R-S? What's that one?
It's one of the public libraries within this Adams.
And so if you're a graduate student in Indiana and doing a research paper, you can take advantage of this online and get as much information as you can. In fact, you may not have to use any kind of FOIA request, because if there's 700,000 documents sitting on PARS, 2 million citations sitting on Adams.
Correct.
That's a whole lot of information there.
Yes, that's exactly right.
When you look at the people using this, are international people using this information as well, just domestic? What is your website?
Yes, it all over. We're really actually surprised by the searches that are not so popular that are coming from international. So it is. It's an international community. It's scientists. We've seen students from elementary school, our stakeholders, industry uses it a lot. Our licensees use it the most, I would say. And So
if you go to the website, nrc.gov, there are event reports there that you can click to Adams. You can go to Open Government Initiative, Students and Teachers. The Students and Teachers site's kind of it's almost like for high school kids getting involved in the whole idea. It's very graphical. But, you know, graphical things work, images work, and that's how you can get young students interested in this whole idea of nuclear regulation.
Right. And we now have the Real Simple Syndication. I think that's the name for the RSS feed. And we send it directly. We send lots of information directly to the email boxes of those interested. And that's where you can get event reports, speeches, just all kinds of information. And that gets quite a few downloads as well.
I taught a course in the fall of 17 students, and I think each student wanted to receive information a different way. Some wanted RSS feed, some wanted email, some want to follow Twitter, some do LinkedIn groups, some do LinkedIn. And so if you're addressing, you know, the United States audience, what you have to do in order to be responsive, well, there's some people that want RSS feeds. Some people want to come here and search. Some people want to go to conferences. My bias is face-to-face. Look at someone in the eye and ask them a question and see how they respond. I think that's a good way to get some subtleties there. But I think it's a challenge that many agencies have, and you've responded to this challenge.
Yeah, and also we still have our public document room where you can actually walk in and get information, and it's staffed by librarians that can help you out. So we still have that for those that are interested in just coming into that one-on-one. And as I said earlier, lots of public meetings.
And at this RIC conference, you can walk across the street, go up an elevator, and go to your control center, too. I mean, if you want face-to-face and actually see what kind of monitoring is taking place, you can do that, too.
Yes, thanks for bringing that up. We are going to have four tours of our operations center. This is the facility that reacts or responds to events, emergency-type events. It's pretty impressive, and we usually can't even accommodate everybody that wants to go because we can only take so many. So it's been another very popular event.
Yeah, it's interesting that the conference is across the street from your building, but even better, you can just walk across the street and take a
exactly.
tour. It really gives that. I imagine if you're flying in here from Prague or from Japan, you'd want to actually see exactly, well, this is how they do it in Rockville, and maybe we can learn a lesson and adapt to this type of technology for our company or our country as well.
Correct.
Let's take a break and come back. Talk more about the RIC, the Regulatory Information Conference, coming up in mid-March. Talk more about some of the best practices that the NRC has as far as open government, transparency, and using webinars for meetings and webinars just for general information. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Mary Givens, Deputy Director at the Office of Information Services, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Mary Givens, Deputy Director of the Office of Information Services, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC. We've talked about all kinds of things. I think everyone listening knows that the White House has mandated transparency and open government and reaching out to citizens. And I think if you're working for an agency and trying to look for a model, I think you might not look just up the road, up Rockville Pike at the NRC. They're doing a lot of good things there. Today we're talking about a conference coming up in mid-March. It's the RIC, the Regulatory Information Conference from the NRC. You can get more information at nrc.gov. Let's talk about best practices here and transparency and webinars. And before the break, you mentioned that, oh, we're going to also do it in RSS feeds and QR codes. It's almost like you're trying to figure out what the citizens want. Oh, they want QR codes? We'll do QR codes. Oh, they want sky rating? We'll do sky rating. You're responsive.
Yeah, we are really dedicated to the public and being as transparent as we can. We think it's very, very important, especially when you're dealing with, you know, the nuclear material. A lot of people get a little scared sometimes. So as much education, as much information that we can put out there, the better. So we are very transparent. We think it's also, you know, it's a collaborative tool. And it works for us, and we're always focused on that, the transparency being open, and we're always looking for different vehicles to become more transparent, more and more open. But I want to repeat, the most important thing is balancing that with the security. And so that's been our toughest challenge, but we've still been able to be pretty successful with that.
So what kind of a content management system do you use then?
Well, it's the platform is an IBM platform.
And that allows you, I imagine, to tag articles.
Yes, exactly.
And allow that filter to work there. You don't have to worry about releasing information.
Right, and I believe you can search on a folder. You can search, you know, on a content, on a word. And, you know, we're putting a little bit more of that content analytics eventually into that. So, transparency is big for us. And we're, you know, the Office of Information, the Office of Management and Budget has the Open Government Plan. And we submitted our plan back in 2010. We've revised it since. And we've set, a number of goals for ourselves. Social media has turned out to be, again, very beneficial in that area of transparency. The other thing that we're doing a lot with is what we call digital government, which is another initiative by OMB. And this is making the information easier to retrieve, you know, anywhere, anytime. And so we're looking to optimize our website to, you know, produce some more apps so you can retrieve that information any way you wish.
Speaking of social media, a lot of people read blogs, get information from blogs. I'll be writing a blog about this. If you want to find my blog, you go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog, and it kind of pops up there. But there's a blog at the NRC as well, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And actually, it gets about, on an average of 13,000 hits a month. And as I said earlier, with the Fukushima and, you know, crisis type incidents, it tends to go up higher.
Well, and that's public-blog.nrc-gateway.gov. I'm sure you can go to NRC and type in blog and find it as well.
Correct.
Yeah. A lot of, every one of our listeners wants information a different way. And some people read blogs every day. I certainly do. I'm very targeted. I have very specific three or four blogs I read every week. And I listen to C-SPAN a lot, and I watch C-SPAN a lot, and you hear everything about, you know, government agencies, they're wasting money, and they're throwing money out the window, and these federal employees, they're doing this and doing that, and but, you know, if you look at the model of the NRC, you know, you get most of your budget from the people that you regulate. It's kind of a very, I think this story should be told. Why isn't the Washington Post tell about this story about the NRC, where they're really getting most of their funding from the people that they regulate?
Correct. So as I said earlier, we have a budget of over $1 billion, and 90% of that budget is recovered through fees of our licensees. We have 104 reactors or power reactors, so we charge them an annual fee. In addition to that, there's a hourly fee when we go out and do inspection visits. And then we have our civilian material licensees, and we charge them an annual fee, of course, is much less. So we do recover, and actually we do a really good job of recovering most all of it and just return it back.
That almost seems like the dream. I mean, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine in Ohio, and he said, as far as I'm concerned, that Washington, D.C. can just fall into the ocean. But if I explained to him, I said, well, there's this little group called the NRC that really gets most of its funding from what it's charged to do. That means to protect you in Ohio. And there's a big nuclear power plant in Perry, Ohio, and he lives 5 miles from there. And I say, well, look up the road there. These people in D.C. are protecting you and your kids. Think that might have value?
Yeah, actually, we go as far as we publish our fee rule. This is the calculation that we, you know, and it describes all the different categories of fees. We publish that to the public, and we actually receive comments, and in some cases, you know, incorporate the comments. So they're even involved in development of the fee structure.
Speaking of fees, your RIC, Regulatory Information Conference, is it charged for admission for that? How does that work?
It's absolutely free to the public.
F-R-E-E, free.
Absolutely.
Well, no wonder there's 3,000 people showing up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, so, but remember, they travel, so and then they stay here. So it's an expense. It's I guess, worth it to them.
I think it's reasonable for them to, you know, be responsible for their own. Most people fly out to the West Coast to go to TED conference and pay for the fee and for the flight and everything else. So this is, it's not a bad deal. And even if you can't afford a flight to come into town here, it's still a lot of the information is available transparently through webinars.
Correct. Well, correct. It. And again, they are archived on our websites and stay there for quite a while. So if you're not able to make it, you can always go to the website at a later date.
Who contributes to the blog, and what kind of topics are in the blog?
Oh, a wide variety of topics. Anything from, you know, regulatory issues that we're encountering. There's some general topics in nature. We just had the Black History Month, so we had some information on there. It varies. Fukushima was on there. With Fukushima, we have some international stuff. So it just really varies on what categories or what topics you're interested in. But it's that's why I think we reach a diverse array of audience.
When I read the news about Iran and nuclear power, and there's this Atomic Energy Commission or something, it's an international group, the NRC, are there other larger organizations in different countries that do the same thing, or does Europe have a group that manages these as well, and you work with these folks, or is this the main international group?
I'm not sure I completely understand the question, but I know that there are other groups trying to mirror the conference, if that you're talking specifically about the conference. They have actually sought us out to learn more about how we develop the conference. So there are other organizations out there, or other countries that are trying to do it.
Is there a way to anticipate the next Fukushima, or what is your organization? Do you have quarterly meetings where people get together and go, well, an event may come up in India, and how can we respond to that, and how can we dynamically allocate resources so our website can and handle the increased hits? Is that a topic of conversation ever?
So I could tell you what I know. The framework, the regulatory framework, is very comprehensive. I think we've done a solid job, and that's why others follow our lead. As new things arise, for example, Fukushima, we've got an entire lessons learned task force that's looking at that. We're looking at now our power plants, our regulations, and looking at the hazard, how our power plants can deal with hazard situations when the power's out for a long time. You know, can our facilities, are they ready, you know, to deal with a situation like that? So it's a continual learning, but we are definitely the lead. But of course, there's always opportunity to learn from these events.
What's been your experience with Twitter? Has that worked with you? Do you involved in it at all?
Yes. We have about 3,300 followers, and it's we make announcements. We use it for press releases. And a lot of times we use it, and a lot of folks that follow it actually end up again on our website.
That's interesting. A lot of tweets actually refer back to links on it.
Exactly.
Could be the website or information about Fukushima or information about storm damage. And I think that's the whole idea of knowledge management is you have all this information and how can you release it to the public? Now, I imagine this is something that's evolved over the last 10 years, this ability to release information confidently. Has it evolved that way, or is it just kind of a big thing that just started here recently?
Oh, no. Well, it's evolved over the years. But of course, when 9/11 happened, it caused us to be a little bit more robust and diligent. So the NIST has a series of security standards that we have to follow. So we've spent a lot of resources ensuring that our information and our systems are secure. So it definitely, since 9/11, has increased dramatically.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the NRC, about a conference coming up, and best practices for open government and transparency. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Mary Givens, Deputy Director at the Office of Information Services, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Mary Givens, Deputy Director of the Office of Information Services at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. We've talked about transparency, open government. We've talked about document releases and FOIA. And we talked about something called the RIC, the Regulatory Information Conference, coming up in mid-March. It's free. And if you want to attend, you can just take the metro up to Rockville and sit on a bunch of different events. There's stuff about knowledge management, and there's stuff for big, heavy nerds, too. If you want to follow this conference, you can use your Twitter feed. It's at NRCGov_RIC. And if you want to follow me, my handle is at Ray Gilray. And you can follow that. I have all kinds of interesting tweets about everything conceivable, including digital government and the NRC. Well, I give all my guests this little tech survey, and so I'm going to give you the tech survey here. Find it if you're a card-carrying nerd or not, because this is officially what I have to do here.
Well, so. I'll start by saying I am not a nerd.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
The listeners will make that decision.
All right.
So it was the year you bought your first computer.
I was thinking about that. I think it was the early 80s, in the 80s somewhere.
Well, that's pretty respectable. I mean,
okay.
Some nerd
all
points.
Right.
Okay. Your first cell phone?
In the early 90s.
90s? Okay, that's not bad. And do you have your own Twitter feed?
No, I don't, but NRC does, at NRC at NRCGov.
Okay, and do you have your own blog?
No, I don't, but NRC
losing
does.
Losing points.
I know.
Use any personal online backup?
Yeah, the iCloud.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
Well, I'm actually a little spoiled. I have an Android from personal use, and just this week I was given an iPhone from work.
Multi-device.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
number of apps on your Android?
Probably over 100.
Wait a minute.
Am I becoming a nerd? Well, some of those are
up.
my daughter's games. She tends to take my phone and play her games.
What kind of tablet device
I
do you have?
I have an iPad.
Okay.
Got it for Christmas.
Social networking device? A social networking tool?
Actually, my time does not allow me, believe it or not. So I have not had the opportunity. I'm thinking about getting on LinkedIn and Facebook. I'm still a little hesitant because of security.
I think that's reasonable. And the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
First of all, I don't read that much because I don't have time. And when I cuddle up at night and want to read, I think paper still works for me.
Okay, we'll have to take this through the UNIVAC computer and find out. You had a pretty, the beginning was strong, but kind of faded at the end. I think you're probably in the low level of the nerdometer rating here. I've had people who've given me serial numbers of their first personal computer. Serial number 1827, Apple, and people get kind of flipped out about some of these things.
Yeah, a person needs a life, I think.
And some of the security people I get in the studio here, I say, what kind of online personal back? Oh, I don't use any. I have my own NAS at home in my basement. Their own network they back up to in
the
basement.
Goodness.
So all kinds of interesting thoughts here. NRC has been around a while, a very successful conference. And as I said during the break, well, if you talk to media relations people in town and public relations people, everyone will get up in a soapbox and say, no one's going to events anymore. People aren't traveling as much. Budgets are being pulled back. Obviously, federal government agencies are looking at their travel budget and pull it back. And no one's going to events. No one's going to conferences anymore. It's drastically dropped off. But people are attending this event. So what's the magic sauce?
I really think, again, it's the value that they get. It's the sharing of the information. The content is very important. And year after year, they see that value and keep coming back.
One of the tabletop presentations is called A Study in Crisis Communications and Social Media, the NRC and Hurricane Sandy. I mean, that would be valuable to public relations people. That would be valuable to social media experts. That would be valuable to these physics guys who run around with nuclear questions. So it kind of touches on a lot of different topics, doesn't it?
Correct.
Maybe
yes,
that's one of the draws, is it? Because I got that. And that's the conference I'm going to go to, and that's a tabletop presentation.
Right.
I'm going to go up there. I'm going to listen, see, and I'm going to walk out and maybe blog about it.
Correct. Yep.
ADAMS, ADAMS. Any big changes in that in the future? Any kind of new areas to explore?
Yeah, we're just continuing to improve the search. In the background, we're continuing to improve the data structure of the data. But from the user perspective, we're just improving the search and, again, applying more social media, maybe perhaps eventually getting to the app versus just going on the website, optimizing an app for it.
So we got a couple weeks. Is the app's being developed? Are you writing it yourself? You contracted out?
We're starting to look at it as part of a digital government.
And as far as mobile devices go, do you see more and more citizens or people coming to your advice, your site, looking for information on handheld devices? Or what kind of trends have you seen in that area?
Last year was a lot of handheld, and I think we're going to see more and more of that. And I think, as I said earlier, this year with the ability to have with this mobile application, we're going to see more people downloading it on their tablets. And the last conference I went to, which was, not ours, there were a lot of people with tablets and downloading information. So it's a really nice concept.
There are conferences, even in small towns in the Midwest, where you look around the room and there's 30 people, and 90% of them have tablets and they get information that way. And so it seems like if you're going to provide information and if you have 700,000 documents to provide, I think you have to tip your hat to the citizens who want information in a mobile format. And they say, no, I want to get this in, and this is why I want to consume this information on a tablet instead of on a desktop computer.
So mobility is one of our big initiatives right now. We are, as I said, we've got it for the RIC. There's a few other things that we're working on, but clearly under digital government, we're looking for even some of our business systems to be more mobile. We have a ways to go because it requires making a lot of system modifications, and in this tight budget, it's a little difficult. So we have to sort of prioritize our needs. But we are definitely, mobility is big. The other thing I wanted to mention is we recently deployed Bring Your Own Device for our employees. And so now employees can choose to volunteer into this program, bring their own device, and we put a product on there called Divide. So their own device, and they'll have a section for the corporate or the business side. And it's very secure because it's a container type application.
So it can be remotely wiped, I assume, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, that's.
Did you say it can be remotely wiped?
Yeah.
The corporate stuff can, without impacting the rest of the stuff.
And I think that has to be part of the mobile policy for all agencies.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to come in with pictures of their dog or pictures of their kid's soccer game.
Right.
And they don't want, the agency or the company.
Right.
You could work for ExxonMobil. Same thing as working for Department of Commerce. I mean, it's the same big enterprise organization. You had personal stuff on your phone. Well, yes, I call Mary on the weekend to try to figure about this conference. And I also have pictures of my kid's soccer games on there. And
right.
So if there's a technology incident, that stuff can be erased.
Yes, yes. And we've been working this for about a year, and we've been working the policy, and I think we're at a good place right now. The only thing they could download at this point is the email, the calendar, but no attachments yet. That will be in the next phase.
So business systems, these are people who work at one of your regional offices and go out to evaluate sites?
Systems I was speaking of, it's specific applications geared towards. So for the reactor program, we have a reactor system where it's work planning, it's case management, it's lots of information specific to our inspectors and those users.
Uh-huh.
So it's not an enterprise-wide system, but more specific to those users that need it for their need.
And who creates the standards for this? Is it the NRC creates the standards? Is it a separate body that creates the standards for the people when they go out in business use?
Okay, so the standards for our business systems,
mm-hmm.
We follow all the government standards. We make sure we're following all the, security requirements, but it's governance standards, and we follow, the project management methodology with that.
So what about the actual standards for complying for safety in the nuclear regulatory in a nuclear facility? Well, it could be done in coordination with other organizations, I guess, huh?
Yes, yes. We're responsible for the rulemaking of all the reactor facilities and the nuclear materials. But we do, we issue that rule for public comment, and then we do incorporate any comments that make sense. So they are involved in the rulemaking.
We just have about 30 seconds left. I just want to tell all the listeners to go to nrc.gov, take a look at a good federal website. You can get more information on conferences there. If you want to follow them on Twitter, you can follow them on Twitter. They have blogs there. The conference is every March. In fact, you're growing out of your britches. You're getting too big for your britches, huh?
Yes, yes.
Where do you think could be next year? Same place?
No, no. Actually, I think we're outgrowing. This is the Marriott and Conference Center in Rockville. We're definitely outgrowing it. So
wow.
We have to look ahead.
Great news. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Mary Givens, Deputy Director of the Office of Information Services at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.